Appreciate the prayers that's been offered and ask your continued interest in your prayers tonight. Been pondering the thought of being satisfied in God. Satisfied in Christ. Satisfied in God's Word. Satisfied. You know, in this world, we're oftentimes dissatisfied. Maybe you don't have that problem, but I find myself having to check myself from time to time. Not that I'm dissatisfied with God, but that we get busy and so forth. And it's just good for us to remember what a blessing it is. That's such an understatement, but what a blessing it is. God has blessed us to know Him. And beyond that, He's blessed us to know what He's done for us. He's blessed us to know the security of it, that we have in it. There's so much in being blessed to know what God has done for us. So let me ask you a question. I like to ask questions and stir the mind as we get into a subject. Where would we be without the Holy Spirit? We might be on TV in some of these cities where people are being so lawless and disregarding authority and the property of others. I mean, without the Spirit of God, without being born of the Spirit, and without the leadership of the Spirit, all we would have is self. And that's all we would seek to satisfy would be ourselves. We certainly wouldn't be seeking God. So where would we be without the Holy Spirit? Aren't you thankful tonight for the blessing of His Spirit? Aren't you thankful tonight of being blessed to understand that He's God, He's over all, He reigns, He rules and super rules? Nothing surprises God. Nothing's ever going to go beyond or get past His watchful eye. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. I mean, just thinking about who He is and what He has done should cause us to rejoice and remind us how satisfied we can be in the Lord. Now, I want to notice several passages where God has blessed us with some promises. And listen, these are not just, promises that God makes. They're powerful and they're precious. And these are rather comprehensive. I just want to, in thinking about being satisfied in God, being satisfied in His Word, being satisfied with the blessings that He's given us. These promises. I want to go, I'm going to quote several or read several passages. And it's passages that are repeated throughout the Scripture. Now, God doesn't repeat something just to take up space, right? We've talked about that a lot of times. If God repeats something, then first of all, we should take note of it. But it's also Him reminding us of something that we need to remember. And we need to carry with us. So in thinking about this, I'm going first of all to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus 26. Let me turn there real quick, just to... In Leviticus 26, Moses is touching on, I guess you might look at it as the commandments that was on that first tablet, the first few commandments, reminding them that we're not to have any idols, any graven images, not to bow down to any graven image, not to erect any image that we would bow down to, reminding God's people to keep the Sabbath, to reverence his sanctuary. Those are all good things to remind us of. Then he begins to talk about blessings that he would give to his people when they observe his commandments, when they keep his word. But what I'm after is down in verse 11, 11 and 12, verses 11, Leviticus 26, verses 11 and 12. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Now, from the time of Adam and Eve, when sin entered into the world and man fell by transgression, there was a separation. You know, before sin, God, it appears from what we can glean from the early part of Genesis, that God would come down and walk with Adam and Eve and commune with them openly. But that changed after sin. God didn't have that free communion with man after sin. But yet, here's a promise. Let me read it again, verses 11 and 12. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. God promised, if they would observe his word and follow his commandments, that he would have his tabernacle would be set among them, he would walk among them, he would be their God, they would be his people. Isn't that a tremendous promise? I mean, what more could you want in this life? For man that's fallen in sin, for God to do what's necessary, which we understand that all those sacrifices and all those things foreshadowed what Christ would do when God would send his Son to this world to save us from our sins, to reconcile us with God, and bring us back to him. But in the Old Testament, even while they had the sacrifices, before Christ came, God told his people a way that he would walk among them, that he would be their God, and they would be his people. What more could we want in this life? When we see all of the things going on in this world? Now, don't get me wrong, there's lots of things for us to enjoy with our families, with our recreation, with our vocation. There's lots of things about this life that God has blessed us to be able to enjoy. But at the same time, we live in a fallen world. Not everybody loves God. Not everybody's seeking after God. There's times when bad things happen to good people. And it's going to continue to be that way until Jesus comes again and gathers us up and takes us home to be with him. But here we find God saying he would walk among us, his people. And he would be their God. They would be his people. By his grace, by his love and his mercy, even in the Old Testament, he speaks in these ways. Now, this is very, you go all the way to the end of the Bible, Revelation 21, verse 3, and you find essentially this same idea. But a lot has happened between Leviticus and Revelation. God has sent his Son to this world. But listen, it was God's purpose from the very beginning that he would send his Son to this world to save us from our sins. And so when we think about the purpose of God, in the mind and purpose of God, he had already chosen his people in Christ. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So, these promises are not because of that we're so good. It's because God is so good. And that by his grace, he has made a way for us to be with him and reconciled to him. But while we walk here, while he has established the relationship, we have a lot to do with the fellowship. But aren't you thankful tonight that we have a way that we can walk in fellowship with God? And enjoy his presence among us? The fact that he's our God, we're his people. What a blessing. Jeremiah 31, verse 33, which, by the way, is repeated in Hebrews chapter 8. Okay? The wording is a little different, but it's the very same thought. Okay? So, Jeremiah 31, verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. Hebrews says, in their mind. And write it in their hearts. And will be their God, and they shall be my people. A lot of the same thoughts, right? He'll be our God. We shall be his people. What a blessing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Now, I want to lay this foundation here, so I want to read several verses of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What I'm really after is in verse 16, but I'm going to go back up to verse 14 and get the thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Can you see how that would hinder our walk here in this life? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial, and what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now, as believers, we understand that, don't we? We see that readily. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Okay? But listen, verse 16, he says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This promise, once again, repeated to us. We understand. If we're going to walk with God, then we need to remember His word. We need to observe His word. And what a blessing it is that we know His word, that He's given us His Spirit, that being born of His Spirit, we have eyes to see and ears to hear. We also have the additional blessing of having heard the gospel, having grown up in the church. I think everybody here tonight can say that we've spent a lot of years. Now, Kendra's working on it, but a lot of years. I mean, we've been blessed to have grown up in the church. Amen. We don't appreciate that like we should, I don't think. Now maybe you do a better job of it, but you know, it's just such a blessing. We were talking last night about what a blessing and how refreshing it is when you're around somebody that hasn't been blessed with the truth all their life, and just see the joy and the zeal. What a blessing that is. We all ought to have that all the time. I mean, it's no different. The truth is no less the truth the longer you're in it. What a blessing that is. And I guess surrounded by all that's going on in the world today, I've just had such a blessed satisfaction in being able to know who God is, the true God, not the God that so many in the world says now He's done all He can and it's up to you. I don't have to lie down at night wondering just who's accepted Him so that they can go to heaven and not die and go to hell. I don't have to worry about that. I've been blessed with the truth all of my life. I may not have known it and, you know, until the Lord opened my eyes and blessed me to understand it. I may not have appreciated it like I should, but I've been blessed to hear it all my life. Unlike some of you, the first place I was ever taken was church. Now, that doesn't give me any gold stars or anything like that. I'm just saying that that's my heritage. What a blessing, what a privilege that we're blessed to know the one true and living God. And other people can speak about other religions all they want to, but we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto God but by Him. Amen. There's none other name given unto heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Only Jesus. And we also are blessed to understand that no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Now what Jesus said? As a matter of fact, He said it more than once in the same chapter. John chapter 6. And I remember as a little boy hearing the illustration about drawing a bucket out of a well. You know, some folks coming along nowadays can't really appreciate that all that well, can they? And I don't remember if I have, but I didn't grow up doing this, but some of you did. Letting a bucket down with a rope on it. And it seemed like I remember hearing the preacher say, now, you didn't just call the bucket and it come out of the well. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. You had to draw the bucket out of the well, right? That's exactly what God has to do for us. We cannot, by any power of our own, come to God. I'm talking about initially, until He draws us unto Himself. I remember a preacher emphasizing one time that word draw literally means dragged. Right? That's what God has to do. And that was one of my daddy's favorite verses of scripture. No man can come to me. Anytime he was visiting with some of his friends that didn't have the same understanding about the scriptures, somehow or another that verse of scripture would come out. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me, draw him. And I'll raise it up at the last day. Oh, as we think about the blessing that we're able to understand what God has done for us, the mercy, the love, the grace that's been bestowed upon us, that we understand that. And so, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what we may have to face, no matter what, he's our God. By his grace, we're his people. And when we walk with him, he walks with us. And he blesses us to feel his presence and to know more about him. I hope this nation remains like it under the structure that it was founded. I hope that remains for generations and generations and generations. We're living in a day where we're seeing evidence of there's those that wants to change that drastically. And I'm not trying to get anybody unsettled or fearful. I'm just trying to tell you that no matter what we have to face in this life, God is able to take care of us. He's able to provide for us. He's able to keep us. He's able to take care of us. And bless your hearts, all along we have the glorious truth that when this life is over, we will, by his grace, by his power, by his keeping, by the blood of his Son that he sent to this earth to save us from our sins, we will be with him in glory. The best is yet to come. And so when we think about it, over and over throughout the scriptures, God has reminded us that he's our God. We're his people. But he gives some conditions to enjoy his fellowship. And so he's told us over and over in his word. Now, what I'm getting to here is after these verses that we've read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, after he speaks about how that he said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Then he says, wherefore? Kind of like a therefore, isn't it? You got to look to see where, you know, you got to read what's ahead of it so that you'll know why the wherefore is there. All right, wherefore, he tells us there's something we need to do. Well, what do you mean, preacher? We're saved by grace. We don't have to do anything. I've heard that. But if we want to walk with God, there's some things we need to know. There's some things we need to do. Didn't Jesus say, if you know, I understand this was spoken in the context of the feet washing. But the principle applies. When he said, if you know these things, you're good to go? I don't mean to be light with the scriptures, but if you know these things, happy, which could also say blessed, happy are you if ye do them. That's where the joy is going to be found. So he says, wherefore? All right. So in essence, what he says is what follows after this, if we do this, there's going to be some joy that can be found in it. Okay? He says, wherefore, come out from among them. From who? From all these that we're unequally yoked or could be unequally yoked with. All these others. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That sounds like a blessing to me. That sounds like closer fellowship to me. That sounds like more peace and contentment in this life when we followed his word, doing what he says, and his promise is, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I love the precision of Scripture. Didn't just say, saith the Lord, but the Lord Almighty. He's able to do what he's promised. And he's faithful to do what he's promised. And so then, chapter 7 begins, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Kind of sounds like what Solomon said when he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Yeah. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Holiness. I don't hear much being said about holiness in our day. I do remember growing up, I used to hear quite often somebody would say, now there goes a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman. I heard that expression a lot more then than I do now. I've tried to incorporate it a little bit more, keep it going. Because thankfully, we have God-fearing men and God-fearing women among us. Thankfully, we're in the presence of some tonight. Thankfully, we've got others who don't understand the truth of the gospel like we do, and yet there's evidence, abundant evidence in their lives, in our friends and families and neighbors and co-workers and so forth. Plenty of people in our communities that fear God. Isn't that a blessing? They're the people of God. Else they wouldn't be fearing God. What a blessing that we have those around us who also fear God. And so we need to regard his word. We need to regard his commandments. We need to regard the things that he says that we should do as far as the condition of our heart, as far as our footsteps, our decisions, all those kinds of things enter in to observing, coming out from among them and being separate. Now, obviously, we have to make our way in this world, and we're not going to go off some remote island and be by ourselves. But listen, you can make your way in this world and still maintain that separation from the things of this world and loving the things of the world. We have to make our way in this life, but bless your hearts, there's a way we can sanctify the Lord God in our heart, that we can seek fellowship with God and make the kind of choices that are pleasing to him as we go through this life. So, going to another scripture, in view of all that we've said here, Galatians 5:25. I believe we heard that recently preached on here, haven't we? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Remember, I began tonight by asking, where would we be without the Holy Spirit in us? Spiritually, we'd be dead without the Spirit of God. So if we live in the Spirit, so how do we live in the Spirit? I've already told you several times. We live in the Spirit because God's had mercy upon us. By his grace, he's caused us to be born of his Spirit. In his own time, he gives us his Spirit. We believe in that immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. Not through the agency of men or the gospel, but by the act of God. God sovereignly working on the hearts of his people. If we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. All right? Living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. God, by His mercy, has given it to us. What a blessing that is. So what do we need? You know, let's think about it. Since He's given us His Spirit, then we're alive in the Spirit, and we can walk in the Spirit. What does the natural man need to make it in this world? I know that's a broad question, but here's the thought I've got on my mind. Don't we need food and water? Let's just narrow that down to bread and water. Bread and water. I mean, that's still a broad term because Jesus said, man, or back in Deuteronomy, and then when Satan tempted Jesus, he responded with this verse out of Deuteronomy. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. Okay? So it's just bread is sometimes it's just a kind of a broad term for our food. As a natural man, what if all you ever had was bread and water? That's where I'm going with this. You know, even the children of Israel were eating manna that God rained down from heaven, and they got tired of it. Remember that? Do you remember what they called it one time? Well, I have to narrow this down a little bit. They called it light bread. Was that Numbers 21? They called it light bread. They loathed. They got in a condition. They were murmuring and complaining. And they complained about the manna and said, called it light bread. Now we have white bread, and sometimes we might refer to it as light bread, don't we? Do we know what we're saying if we use it biblically? That term, light bread, out of Numbers 21, the literal definition that I found is insubstantial. In other words, not much value. Or if you're really worked up about it, you might say it's worthless. Hang in here. For God's people to think about this manna, which was sustaining them in the wilderness, that God by His mercy was giving them from heaven, and was keeping them alive, and they call it something worthless. See a problem there? Now, we do very easily get tired of a lot of the same things. But what I'm driving at is a level of satisfaction. When those people were hungry, do you think they would have called it light bread in that sense, in the meaning of that word, worthless? I rather suspect, I can't prove this, but some of you might agree with me, I rather suspect that that manna was about as nutritious as anything they'd ever eaten, probably more than anything they had ever eaten in their life or ever would. And they got to the place where they considered it worthless. Now, spiritually speaking, what do we need? Do we not need some bread and some water spiritually? Is there a scarcity of spiritual water and spiritual bread? But have we ever gotten tired of it? You see, Jesus himself said, "I am the true bread from heaven." He also told the woman at the well, "He that drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But he that drinketh of the water that I shall give." Do you think he's running on short supply with this water that he can give? I might better turn to this, make sure I... John chapter 4. You make several statements. I don't want to get it crossed up here. John chapter 4, verse 13. "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The Spirit that God has given us, when we're walking with the Lord, when we're seeking his face, when we're reading his word, when we're enjoying the blessings that we have already been given by his grace of knowing him and knowing who he is, and as we seek his word that Jesus is the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, and yet he says he's the bread of life. So spiritually speaking, I believe you can just say that all we need is this water and this bread. Our Lord and Savior, the water that he gives and the fact that he's the bread of life. Can you feast on him? Can you feast on his word? Can you feast on the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you feasting on him? When we cease from that water and that bread, we're definitely choosing something inferior. Insubstantial. Substandard, if you will. Something that won't last very long. The things of this world are perishable. But how many of God's people, are trying to make it on the things of this world? When as a child of God, all we need is that water and that bread. Being satisfied by and with our God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word that he's given us, we need to eat it up every day. You know, Jesus said, he taught us to pray to give us this day our daily bread. And that may be a variety of things, but he knows what we need, and we know where we can go to ask of him for what we need, and he's pleased. If he told us to ask for it, don't you know that he's pleased to give it? And so all we need to be satisfied from him is to come to him and ask for that water and for that bread. He knows what we need. He can satisfy us. Are we seeking him for that water and that bread that we need every day. When we read this word, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and when we've got the Spirit within us, and when we ask Him for the Lord to help us to understand His word, we've got a promise that if we ask, He'll help us. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, which He gives us in the new birth, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so when we seek Him in this word, the blessing is He rewards us with seeing Him, with a better understanding of it. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we feed on His word. Peter tells us to, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You know, He gives us His Spirit. We're born of His Spirit. He gives us eternal life. We have His Spirit within us. We have all we need as a child of God. But what a blessing it is when we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And so we need to be asking, if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Let's be asking Him. You know, we're not asking to be born again. We're asking for that refreshing that we need each day. We're asking for that nourishment from His word that we need every day. And so as we think about the blessings of what we have and who He is, there's no reason that we should ever, like the children of Israel did in the wilderness, and they got tired of that manna. But you see what kind of an attitude they were in. They were complaining about a lot of things. And yet God was sustaining, even while they were complaining, or even when they did complain, God still rained down the manna. He still had mercy upon them. This word is what we need to feed our souls each day. This word reminds us, you know, there's no way the preacher's ever going to cover everything. But when you're reading the word on a regular basis, the Spirit can bring things to mind. The Spirit can help you to remember things that maybe the preacher hadn't preached on in a while. The Spirit can bless us with a greater understanding of these precious truths. This word that we need to be feeding upon every day we live. And so, when we see one of God's children satisfied in the Word of God, in God, and in Christ, we see them feeding upon the Word of God, you know, that in itself is an evidence of their level of satisfaction. Reading that Word, rejoicing in it, feeding upon it. So I guess what remains is, the question would be, how satisfied do you feel tonight in your God? See, it's the perishable things of this world that distract us. It's the cares of the pleasures and the riches and cares, pleasures, and riches of this world that choke out the effect of this word. And when the word is being choked out because there's so much of the other things in our life, there's bound to be some level of dissatisfaction that shows in that person's life. So the remedy to that would be to get on our knees and ask the Lord for forgiveness and then get our nose in the book and be reading the Word of God and feeding our soul on this precious Word that nourishes us, that reminds us, that sometimes rebukes us. But it's what we need. It's a thorough furnisher unto all good works. And when we're satisfied in Him like we should be, when we're walking like the Psalm 1 man, remember, blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. When we're walking like that, then when we get to Psalm 23, it's sweet. It's precious. We're satisfied with that. Because the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. May God help us to think about what a blessing it is for us to be able to know the one true and living God, to know who He is, to know what He's done for us, to know that it's by His grace, by His love, by His mercy. We certainly didn't deserve it. But He's our God. We're His people. And He's blessed us. He's blessed us to know that He's promised that when we're walking with Him, He walks with us in the midst of us. Oh, there's so many directions I could go with that thought. So many other things that we could say, but I hope I've stirred your mind. I hope I've touched your heart tonight. Oh, yeah. To think about how blessed we are. Yeah, there's a lot of things in this world I wish was different, but I don't have any power to change that. But God hadn't called me to change that anyway. He's just called us to be faithful to Him. He's called us to be faithful. I remember years ago talking to Brother Michael Goins, Brother Michael said, well, Brother Clayton, God hadn't called us to be successful. He called us to be faithful. Faithful. God will take care of the rest. We just need to be faithful. Follow Him. Be satisfied in Him. Seek His face, His loving kindness. And He'll bless us to know what we need to do. May God bless you, as I pray.